What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner, certified personal trainer, and certified run coach. And I also work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, so we are all things fitness over here. I'm just going to give it to you guys straight. I am burnt out, and that's what this episode is about. We're going to dissect all the different areas of my life and try to figure out why I'm burnt out. So I'm sure that sounds really fun to you guys, and I'm glad you're here because I feel like collectively, I don't know if this is just me, but I genuinely do feel like collectively, there's a lot of burnout going on, especially with people who are training for spring races. Like, these are kind of the peak weeks now. And so it can get honestly just like really tiring and fatiguing, and not to mention trying to manage work on top of all of that. And it's still kind of the dreary days of the end of the winter. Like, we really need spring to come. We need spring to come, and we need the sun, and it's all going to be okay. But I do genuinely feel like there is a little bit of collective burnout. So just so you guys know, you're not alone, and we're going to dissect what could be causing it. If you hear my dog eating her dinner in the background, sorry, but she has been home all day, actually. Well, she went to daycare today. I went to the office today. She came back from daycare at like 4:30 and then just fell right asleep. So now it's 8:22 and she's eating, and she's really loud, but I guess she wants her dinner. So it's her dinner time. This is actually very rogue of me. It's a Wednesday night. I just got back from a run in the pouring rain. I did 8 miles easy around 9 minute pace. It was not fun at all. I'm tired. I didn't want to go outside. No one was running tonight. I was by myself and it was kind of miserable, but sometimes you just have to give yourself tough love and just get out there. And like, was it the most fun? No. But did it kill me? Also no. And now I'm back and I'm happy I did it. We're not even doing life updates today. We're just going straight into the episode, okay? Because when inspiration strikes, when you're burnt out to record an episode, you just have to record it. You know what I mean? It's kind of ironic because I'm burnt out talking about burnout. And the last thing I want to do is like come on here and talk. But if I don't do it now, it's never going to get done. I feel like when you're recording a podcast, when inspiration strikes, if you can't record it right then, it's really hard to get like back in the zone that you were in when you were thinking about the thing you wanted to talk about, if that makes sense. Anyway, we're here, we're going. But let's start with number one, which is a very real thing. Being in the peak weeks of training. My goal race this spring is the Jersey City Half Marathon. It's on April 12th. And it's March, what day even is it? March 6th right now. So we are very much so in the peak weeks of training. And the peak weeks of training for anything are always tiring. Like, no matter what. Even if you're training correctly and giving yourself the proper rest, it's just a lot. It's a lot of volume on your body. It's also a lot of like repetitive exercise. Like, yeah, if you ask me, do you want to go out and run like 6 days a week or would you rather switch it up? I probably would rather switch it up, you know, for fun. But when you're really in peak training and you're following a schedule and you're really trying to push your limits, you just got to follow the schedule and it's a lot of running. So that's one thing. The other thing is just kind of me being a little bit afraid that I'm not going to be able to hit the goals that I originally thought I was going to be able to hit this spring. And I don't know, like, it's so hard to tell in training because a lot of times during training, your goal race pace feels so hard, like genuinely so hard, and you're doing it for way less time. And sometimes it's like, wait, then how the hell am I supposed to do this for the full race? Like, for example, half marathon pace to me feels so difficult in training, and I'm maybe doing 6 miles at that pace. And I have to do 13.1 miles at that pace. And there's going to be no breaks in between. And so I think sometimes you can just get a little disheartening, or you can just kind of get a little nervous, honestly. Like, even though I've done this a bunch of times, and I know it's very, very normal for race pace to feel hard during training. Like, even marathon pace, I would do marathon pace for like 8 or 10 miles at a time during training, and it would feel so hard. But you have to remember, it's on top of a lot of other volume of training. So for the race, you're going to be tapered. But during training, you're doing a lot of other volume during the week. You're also adding on lifting onto that. And just you have like a busy life and you're probably trying to like make sure you see your friends, make sure you see your significant other and like all these things. Whereas like race week, you're really just going to be concentrated on that one thing. You're going to give yourself time to relax, rest before the race, like get a lot of good carbs in you, and like you're gonna be prepared. And so I always have to remind myself of that. Like, it's okay that things feel hard. I keep reminding myself of this during training. Every single workout that I have, I'm like, it's supposed to feel hard. That's the point. The point is I have a goal race pace that's quicker than my last half marathon that I ran,
which means it's going to feel difficult when I'm trying to hit these quicker paces. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if it feels difficult. Just because my mind decided, or just because I decided in my mind, yeah, I'm ready to go for like this faster pace, my body needs time to catch up. My mind is there. My mind's like, yes, girl, you can do it. You got it. But you got to give your bod time to catch up. And so it's all about just pushing your limits a little bit each workout and then letting yourself recover. And I have to remind myself, it's supposed to feel hard. If it doesn't feel hard during your speed workouts, you're doing something wrong, okay? So don't be worried about that. Number two, another very real thing that's causing burnout, wedding planning. So I'm so grateful to be planning such an amazing wedding. I have literally have no like complaints about the wedding, about any of the decisions we've made, about the timeline, about anything. I think it's great. However, I do think I would be remiss to not acknowledge that that is definitely causing me stress. As much as I would love to say, you know, sit here and tell you, no, it's amazing. I'm so grateful. It's just all rainbows and butterflies and sunshine. It's a very real stressor. It really is, because you're planning the biggest party of your life. There's a lot of constituents involved. There's a lot of vendors involved. There's a lot of logistics and planning that go into the day of coordination, and it's stressful, and it's my party, you know? And so you want to make sure that everyone's accommodated, that there are many people flying in from New York and from out of town. My bridesmaids are actually, one of them's from Colorado, one of them's from Chicago, one of them's from London. Like, people are coming from all different places for me, paying a lot of money to stay in hotels, flights for the weekend, everything to come, like dresses, all that stuff. Even my bachelorette trip, paying a lot of money to be a part of this experience for me. And for that, I am forever grateful. And I know that I'll reciprocate that when everyone else is getting married, and I can't wait. But it definitely is a very real stressor. Like, when you have anything that involves a lot of money and a lot of planning and budgeting, it's just inherently stressful. Not to mention, there is a lot of pressure, whether that's, you know, whether this is self-imposed or whether I'm feeling this pressure from other people. I don't really know. Maybe, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just like the standards that you feel that you need to uphold, but there definitely is a lot of pressure to look really good on your wedding day, which is not a novel concept. Like, and yes, I obviously want to look good on my wedding day. Like, that is the most photographed day of my life. I'm paying so much money for a photographer. Well, my parents are. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you. I was going to pay for it, and they were like, we will pay for that because we know how much it means to you. So Brett and I are covering some stuff. My parents are covering the majority of stuff, and then Brett's parents are covering some stuff. So yeah, anyway, budgeting for a wedding is just inherently a stressful topic, but it's one that needs to be addressed with your, you know, situation and your family. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure to look good. We are getting my wedding dress altered. Meaning me and my mom are going for my first alteration on March 28th, which is a Thursday. We actually got the dress from Kleinfeld. I did not book an appointment there. My mom did. And I was like, sure. I was like the easiest bride in terms of getting a dress. I was just at Kleinfeld, found it in like an hour and was like, yep, this is the one. So we got the notification that it came in, and now we have to get it altered. I have stress around that. I want to look really good. I wasn't feeling the most confident in my body from a physical standpoint at the beginning of this year. And that's not to say I'm like not proud of my body. I really am. I am so grateful to be in a spot where like no matter what my body looks like, I'm proud of it. And I can be in a spot where like sometimes there are things that I would like to change about my body, but it doesn't diminish how much I love myself. And I can really truly say that like with a full heart, whereas I used to only like myself if I thought I looked good, which is a really tough place to be in, and it never really gets you to the optimal outcome that you're looking for, because it just sucks. It like sucks to wake up in the morning and hate yourself and hate your body. So I truly can say like there have been times where I've been at all different weights, all different body types, all different strength abilities, all different running abilities over the past year or so. And I've truly loved my body and appreciated what my body could do in every one of those moments, which is not an easy thing to do. And I'm not saying I never have moments of weakness where I'm like, oh, it would be great if like I could change this about myself. But it's more of like a fleeting thought than like me obsessing over how I look. And I really haven't thought much about how I looked for like a year. But this wedding is definitely bringing up like me paying a lot more attention to how I look, which again, inherently is likely going to happen. But it's like, even with like the hair and makeup wanting to look perfect, I'm not somebody who does a lot of hair and makeup. So there's kind of like stress around that and a lot of pressure to like make sure you just look like absolutely perfect and stunning and flawless. There's also pressure around your body and wanting your body to look really good. My dress is very tight and obviously white. Me and my sister always say tight and white and light and bright, not even necessarily related to the dress, but just to, who even knows? I don't even know how that saying came about, but it just reminded me of that when I was saying tight and white. But it is tight and white, and I chose that. When I chose that dress, I did acknowledge, yes, this dress is tight and white. And yeah, I'll obviously have to wear some type of like Skims or something underneath. Clearly have to wear something underneath. I don't really know though, because you could see everything through it, so I'm not really sure what I'm gonna wear. But that was causing a lot of stress, because my mom wasn't meaning to cause me stress, but she was like, well, you're gonna want to like smooth things out here and there. And I'm like, okay, but like that, like what? But I'm just a human being, and like maybe my skin isn't perfectly smooth, and that's okay. Like, there's just like, but on the other side, I do want to look like really good and flawless. So you see where I'm coming, like there's this kind of like dichotomy of this is the most photographed day of my life and wanting to truly look and feel so good in my body. Like, again, and that's actually separate from loving your body. Like, you can love your body and not feel totally like you like the way you look, which, bear with me, but like you loving your body and loving yourself is much deeper than the way you look. So you can love yourself and love your body and appreciate what it can do for you, but again, want to change certain things about your body. And I think that is completely fine. And I would be like lying if I said that that wasn't ever a concept. Like, it clearly is. And I think being able to talk about it in a way that's like healthy and loving is an amazing thing. But yeah, I just think I just haven't thought about these things in a long time. And it is bringing up a lot of like, I just never really think about how I look. You guys know I train for performance. I don't like get dressed up a lot. I don't wear makeup a lot. There's just not a lot of emphasis on how I look. And the wedding is definitely bringing up a lot of emphasis on like looking literally perfect and stunning. And that is definitely causing me some stress, but it's okay. It's all going to be fine. And yeah, it's just all going to be okay. I don't know. The next thing is my job. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong about my job, and I'm very grateful for my job. I'm grateful for the time that I have free. Like, I have a very good work-life balance. Some weeks I'm working more than others, as you guys know, but most of the time I have a very good work-life balance, which is amazing because, again, coming from investment banking, there was no work-life balance. I need to take a sip of water. I've actually been drinking one of my friends, Isabel Jensen. I don't know if you guys follow her on Instagram, but she started a company. It's an electrolyte company. It's called Friday Wellness. And wow. Oh my God. The watermelon lemonade. Electrolytes. Wow. They're so, so good. Lately, I feel like I've been struggling to drink plain water. So I've been putting electrolytes in everything. And I'm like, sure, whatever. Whatever gets me to get the water down the hatch is what we're going to do. But anyway, my job. I feel like my age is kind of catching up to me in a sense. And not that I'm old, but I am going to turn 27 this year and I'm getting married this year. And I feel like my age is like, I don't know, just more at the forefront of my mind of, hey, I've been in the workforce for about 5 years now. I'm not just out of college anymore. I can't like play the card of like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just graduated. I'll figure it out. I've been figuring it out. I've been doing that, and that's great. And I've been doing well and I've been successful so far, but I feel like it's really, I'm honestly really coming to terms with like, hey, like you're getting older. If you really want to go out and do something on your own, or you want to make something happen for yourself in your career, you got to start making moves. And I think, yeah, that's just weighing on me a little bit because I do like my corporate job, but at the same time, I know it's not where I want to be in 5-10 years. I know I want to start my own thing. And I've always known that, always, as in since I've probably been like 16, I've known that. And I know that I have the personality and like the character traits and the just like the knowledge and the willingness to like really work hard and go at something on my own. Because I know that's a lot more work than just working at a corporate company, getting paid every 2 weeks. You get your projects handed to you. Even if you have an off week, you still get paid. Like, that's definitely easier. And that's definitely a luxury. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize that. Like, I feel like for a while, entrepreneurship was like really touted in such a positive light, which again, it can be the best thing in the world. It can offer you your dreams and award you so much freedom, both financially and just like give you what you've always wanted in life if you work really hard, which is awesome. And that's why America is so amazing. That's like, it's a meritocracy. Work hard for what you believe in and you can be successful. And that's like so great. And capitalism like can totally be something that's amazing. Like, it really can be. And I'm so grateful to live in a country where you have the chance to take a chance, especially as a female in finance. Like, I don't know, I've just been very, very grateful for my career up to this point. And I feel very grateful that I see my future career as like this wide open opportunity that I have the ability to jump at and grasp and really make something for my own. Whereas I feel like definitely in other countries and in other situations, like, people don't have that ability, especially women might not have that ability. And if you're just trying to live or just trying to support your family and you're having to live paycheck to paycheck, as a lot of people do in the world, you don't really have the ability to think in these more broad sweeping terms of like, what would I really do if I could do anything that I was passionate about? And I feel so, so, so incredibly, incredibly grateful that I can even think about following my passion, that I'm even in a position where I feel financially stable. Brett is stable and can support us, and we have savings and we are both very hardworking. And I have the ability to go after my dreams. It would be a really sad state of affairs to not try. You know, it's like, if you're given that opportunity and the stars align and you're able to take that risk, that financial risk, to leave a job where you're getting paid like very consistently and go and try to start something on your own, something that you're passionate about, something that you've been thinking about for a long time, why wouldn't you do it? And if it doesn't work, it's okay. You can go back to the corporate world. I'm talking to myself right now. It's just like a pep talk to myself. But I think sometimes where it can get a little scary is like the vision. I'm somebody who like the vision keeps materializing as I go on. So even with like starting my social media, I didn't really know what was going to happen. Like, I started Fast and Flow. I made the account in 2020. It's now 2024. I didn't do much with it for a while. I had 200 followers. I talked to my story a lot, would update people on my runs. It was super fun. I had a little community. I loved it. Did that for about, 2-3 years. Then I started taking it seriously about a year and a half ago, and almost 2 years ago, actually. I think July will be 2 years since I started TikTok, but I started Instagram in like December of 2023, or sorry, 2022. And I started TikTok in July of 2022. So yeah, it's 2024 now. So we've been going at it for a while. I've been very consistent. But I know I want my career to definitely be intertwined with running. Like, I'm somebody who, I want my passion to be my career. I know there are a lot of people who just want to kind of like keep those two things in separate boxes and be able to just like go to work, make money. But then when they leave their job, they can stop thinking about that. And then they can just go and like live their life and have fun and follow their passions and their hobbies. And that is so fantastic. I know myself deep down to my core. I need my work to be my life's passion. And I've always known that. And it's about just trying to get to the right spot where I can intertwine the two. And I think I'm getting closer. But yeah, I don't have everything materialized in my mind. And sometimes I feel like I should have a more solidified plan. But then it's like, I don't want to force anything. And I want things to really like come naturally. And I feel like even with the social media, like, everything's come naturally. All of the partnerships that I've done, I've been really passionate about, and those have come naturally. Me kind of really getting more into training has come naturally. Me getting my coaching certification, I just like really was passionate about it. I've not forced anything. It's like really just came to me in the right time. And so I feel like, I guess I'll know when it's the right time to really take the jump and take the risk. But that's kind of always weighing over my head, just like the whole career thing. And I think number four, which like definitely ties in with that, but social media, It's hard to show up on social media as a like super positive presence when you yourself are feeling burnt out and low energy and just feeling like it's just hard sometimes, and you don't know what to post and you don't know what people want to see. And I don't know, sometimes it just feels like when you're just trying to live your life and you're just trying to get through the days, it's really hard to show up for other people. But that's obviously not an excuse, and I want to keep showing up, and I will keep showing up even in periods where I'm feeling a little bit more low. And like, I'll just talk about the fact that I'm not feeling the best and I'm feeling a little bit low. Like, I can't always be super hyper happy Kathy, even though that is how I am a lot of the time, and that's amazing. And I'm so grateful that my mind is just like happy, and it wasn't always that way. Like, I did always used to laugh a lot as a kid, but I definitely have gone through some like dark times. I feel like I'm just an overthinker, kind of an overanalyzer. I have pretty bad OCD, so that definitely gets me a lot. That's definitely the thing I deal with the most. Like, I do have bits of anxiety here and there, but definitely OCD is the toughest thing that I've dealt with since I was 11. And it's honestly impossible to explain to anyone who doesn't have OCD. So I'm not even going to try. And everyone's is so different, but yeah, so that's definitely always been like, the more stressed I get, the more my OCD will come out, and like the OCD tendencies will come out. And I've had times in my life where that's been completely debilitating. Like during college, there was a time that we had a stalker, and we set up cameras outside of our house. He ripped them down. We set them up again. He ripped them down. We don't even know what his motive was. He climbed into one of my friend's windows who was living in the first floor. I was also living on the first floor. Really scary. I was having a lot of anxiety at that time. And like, I definitely, like, my OCD was very, very, very bad at that time. So it definitely like comes out when I'm already stressed. But I honestly feel like I blacked that experience out because it was just like so freaky. It was at school, and Ithaca is not the best neighborhood, best town. And you only live on campus your freshman year. So the rest of the years you're living off campus. So in college town, but there's definitely some sketchy people around. But yeah, anyway, I'm getting a little bit off topic, but I think it's also just like, sometimes social media in general, it's like been the best thing ever. And I honestly feel like I will show up on the internet forever because it's something that brings me so much joy. And again, it's something that's come naturally to me. I've always been somebody who wants to share my life. And a lot of people aren't like that. A lot of people want to be more private. Totally respect that. I don't know why. I've always been an open book. I have the same personality around my friends, as my coworkers, as Brett, as my family. Like, I don't change who I am. This is who I am. I've had a lot of people that I've like have followed me on social media and that I've met in person are like, you are the exact same as your social media, which to me is the biggest compliment, because I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to show up any differently. I'm just trying to show you guys who I am, and hopefully that will inspire people. But, you know, I don't know, it can get exhausting sometimes, and I think it can also get like a little bit, it almost feels like superficial sometimes, and that starts to bother me. That's part of the reason I'm really excited to coach. Like, I feel like it's going to be a way to connect with a lot of people that I have been messaging back and forth with on Instagram, but we haven't like formed a solidified relationship yet. I'm also having a little bit of anxiety, not necessarily, I don't know what it is, but of just like changing my name. I'm going to change my last name from Kelly to Bakeys. So I'll be Catherine Bakeys. But that does come with like a little bit of an identity crisis of like, I've known myself as Catherine Kelly for 26 years. And changing that is a little bit of an identity crisis. And I was going back and forth on whether I was going to change my name. But ultimately, I want my kids to have the same name as their mom. Like, I want to be a unified family and a unit. And that's really important to me. If it was just me and Brett, and we didn't want to have kids, like, I would probably just keep my name. But we do want to have kids. And so, yeah, I think that's also just like an interesting thing that's like, I don't know, not necessarily give me anxiety, but just like something that I've been thinking about. And then I think another thing too is almost just like having imposter syndrome of with running and people thinking that I know a lot about running, which I do, but people like asking me for advice about running which I can give, and I am a coach, but I don't know why, like, no matter how much I learn and how much I do, I will always have imposter syndrome with it. And I even feel that way at my job. And I don't know, I feel that way. I feel like I've kind of gotten over that now with about like getting married, but I felt like I was like, I'm not young, I'm 26, but I felt like, oh, I'm like too young, and what, maybe I don't know what I want, and just like almost like feeling an imposter about that, and then an imposter about like talking about planning our family and wanting to have kids. And it's like, okay, but you have to talk about all these things before you get married. And I almost just like, I don't know, just like all these like big life changes I feel like are hard, and they're all good things, and they're all things that I want, but I just feel like all of this collectively that I've been talking about has just been heavy on my mind for a while now, and there's nothing anyone can do to help me. I have to help myself, and I have to hype myself up and do my affirmations and remind myself of all the work that I put in, and that I am qualified to be a coach, and I am qualified to be in my position at my job, and I am qualified to get married. And Brett and I have been together for 5 years, and we're all on the same page, and we know what we want. And I am doing a really good job, because I feel like a lot of times I just think I'm not doing enough, and I beat myself up about that. But just like reminding myself and hyping myself up and being like my own biggest cheerleader, even though that sounds cheesy, it's really true. And just knowing that it's okay to have periods of your life where you're not completely killing it. Like if you were killing it all the time, that would honestly be weird. Like it would be crazy. That would be like winning all the time. And then the wins would mean less. The wins mean more when you have to go through stuff to get to the other side. And like all of this is a very first world problem. I'm safe. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm loved. I have an income. I have a roof over my head. I have food. I have water. Like I'm good. But it's just kind of thinking about all of these other things at the next level that are just part of life. So there's no resolution to any of these things right now. I'm just telling you guys how I feel, because again, I feel like collectively there's just kind of, there's an energy going on, and I think some people are burnt out, but it's going to be okay. And we're in this together, and we got this. So if you enjoyed this episode, let me know, DM me. I know this was like a little bit of an odd time to record, and also I'm not in my typical super preppy mood, but that's life, and I felt the inspiration to record. So that's that. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me the space to speak into a microphone and speak my thoughts for 30 minutes on a random Wednesday night and have people that actually will listen. That means more to me than you will ever know, truly. And I definitely do want to start setting up some like in-person events and getting to meet you guys. And yeah, I think it's going to be fun. So anyway, I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you in the next one. Have a great rest of your week and weekend. All right, bye.